Blog Talk Radio.
Lord Saints, DC Man of God, coming to you from the sanctuary, coming to you from the prophetic Blog Talk Radio show called The Flow. Tonight is the 12th of July, Tuesday night flow. We're going to have an awesome time in the Lord tonight. I'm going to put on some music. We're going to worship God. I'm going to come back, open up in prayer, bring a short word, open up the prayer lines for prayer and strengthening the body of Christ. Amen. So God is good. His mercy endures forever.
Forever. Forever.
I have loved you from the start. I have seen your hurting.
Giving me a reason, giving life a meaning, giving out hope, that's what you do. All I
I'm not Your throne.
Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come before your throne with boldness. We're not timid. We're not beaten down. We're bold. We're bold for you. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise for our lives. And we thank you for everything you've done for us, brought us through, got us over. We thank you for you are good all the time, and all the time you are absolutely good. So we love you. We glorify you. We magnify your holy name tonight. And Lord, I just ask you to bless your people around the world, no matter what country or city or state they might be in. If they accidentally log on to the flow tonight, saturate them with your goodness. Saturate them with your liquid love, that they will feel your presence even now, that you would break it, shift it, change it, and rearrange it in their lives, Lord. Whatever's going south, bring it back, Lord. You are the creator. You create everything in this earth, so you're good all the time. And there's no excuses for that you are good all the time, no matter what we're going through, crushing through, crushing things, whatever it is, Lord, you're going to get the glory out of it. You will get the glory from my life no matter what is happening, whether it's good or bad or ugly, whatever it is, Lord, you're going to get the glory from my life. You and you alone, not the devil, hallelujah, but you and you alone will get the glory from my life. I manifest your presence right now. I ask you to invoke yourself in this place and move and shift and change and rearrange things in people's lives. Lord, when they call in for prayer tonight, I ask you to help them. Help them, God. Exceed their expectations, Lord. You said you would do that, you would exceed their expectations. Whatever they're thinking is far above that, Lord. Do it. Be the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Be the God of generation blessings, Lord. Bless your people. I release it tonight. I release your will. I speak through these clay lips, the oracles from heaven. Have your way today. move by your power and by your might right now, that you would get the glory, honor, and praise for our lives, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Hallelujah. Ha. Hallelujah. And the saints of God said, amen. Amen. Amen, Dickie. Amen. Praise. All right. All right. Hey, I just want to talk tonight about humility. Humility. You know, and I'm going to be talking about Paul, the Apostle Paul. You know, he was killing Christians. Before he got saved, he was the best at killing Christians. And that was his job. That was his mindset, was, you know, how many can I kill today? And all that. So he was hanging them upside down. He was boiling them in oil. He was cutting their heads off. He was doing all of that stuff. And then he went and got a decree from the governor and was going to get more Christians to kill. And on the road to Damascus, a bright light shined on his face and knocked him off his ass. And when he got up, he was blind. He couldn't see. So, and that was the beginning. He saw Jesus. And Jesus said, why do you persecute me? And he said, who are you? And he said, I'm Jesus, who you persecute. So he manifested himself. He manifested himself to Paul, well, Saul, and he changed his name to Paul, the apostle, and he wrote 3/4 of the Bible. So he was going the wrong direction, and then when God come on him, just like me, I was in drugs and alcohol for 27 years. And when he made himself known to me, it was a changing thing. It was like a road to Damascus thing, because he manifested himself. He started speaking to me like this audible voice you're hearing now. I heard the voice of God say, now will you live for me? Now will you give me your life? And I said, yes, Lord. And I've never looked back. Now, that being said, it was the hardest thing I've ever done, because when Jesus walked into my life, everything else in my life walked out. All my friends and families, you know, kids, everything. Because that's what he does. The Bible, you know, talks about, you say I come to bring peace, but I say I come to bring a sword. I will divide the father from the son, the mother from the daughter. I'm coming to bring division. I will divide the house. And that's what Jesus does. He always does that. He always divides, because people don't either. And here's the thing. I make it plain and simple. This is my saying, and this is my thought, and this is my heart, that there's only good and evil, light and dark. I'm going to make it simplistic for you tonight so where you can hear and understand it. So there's good and dark. There's light and darkness. So the light penetrates the darkness. He said the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. So light will always, always overtake darkness. So don't be glorifying the devil and talking about demons and all that. So yes, they exist. Yes, it's real. It's real. But you have power over it. If you're a blood-washed believer, and you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, there is a label across your forehead. You belong. You're property of Jesus Christ. Can't nothing touch you. Hear me tonight. Don't be fearful. Don't be glorifying the devil all the time. Oh, the devil doing this, devil doing that. No, God is in control. God, Jesus Christ sits at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you today. He's praying for you every day. Whether I'm not, or your siblings are not, or whoever, your pastor's not praying for you, guess what? Jesus is praying for you. So in humility, you have to go low. And this is something that the Lord has taught me through of 19 years of walking with him, because the Holy Spirit has taught me all this stuff. Now, he's put me under one man for 15 years, and it wasn't an easy thing to do, but I did it, and I passed the test. So I've learned a lot from that man, but I've learned more from the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit will teach you all things. That's what the Bible says. The Holy Spirit will teach you all things. So when you humble yourself, no matter what, if you're on a job and people are, you know, trying to push your buttons and trying to make you look stupid, humility is going lower than that, saying, yes, you're right, you know. And every time I've ever done that, and I've heard the Holy Spirit say, humble yourself. And it's hard because it goes against the grain of your flesh. That's why it's so hard, because in your flesh, you want to say, no, I ain't doing that. No, I didn't do that. No, you know, defend yourself. But when you humble yourself, God will defend you. You don't hear me. So let's get into the Word a minute. I'm trying to think where I want to start. I'm going to be in 2 Corinthians 12. And it's Paul. And he's talking about humbling himself. He's talking about, you know, that he had a thorn in his flesh. And it says infirmities, but it could be. I don't know. You know, when I was a long time ago, and everything, here's the thing, when you're walking with God and you're reading His Word and studying His Word, it changes. You know, there was things that I was preaching, and I'd be preaching it, and God would check me. He said, no, I didn't say that. I said, what? He said, go back and look at it. So He will correct you. He chastised those that He loves. So if you willing to submit and willing to be teachable, have a teachable spirit, God will teach you. God will use you and blow your daggum mind. He'll blow your mind. I'm telling you. If you humble yourself, if you stay low and not have to be, you know, the worst sin that God hates is pride. And pride is something that you're unteachable. You can't tell me nothing. I know what I'm doing. And you put yourself on the throne as God, because God can't even correct you. God can't even tell you, you know, humble yourself, let go. You know, I don't have to be right all the time. This is what I've learned at living 57 years old. I don't have to be right all the time. Everybody has opinions. I don't have to agree with your opinion. But I'm going to honor that. I'm not going to, you know, say, no, it's my way or the highway. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to, you know, try to make sense of it and give you some wisdom and try to get your mind to shift and change and start thinking, maybe he's right. Maybe, you know, I need to go low. Maybe this is where I'm at right now. But God's trying to humble me. Because He will humble you. He will give you a thorn in your flesh because it goes against the grain in your nature. And it might be your kids. You don't hear me. It might be your wife. It might be your husband. It might be your job. You don't hear me. It might be church people. It might be the church. It might be different things. But it gets on your last nerve. And it gets you so beat down and broken that you have to cry out to God and say, Lord, I need you to fix this. It might be infirmities. It might be, you know, having diabetes or high blood pressure or, you know, whatever, cancer or surgeries or car wrecks. He'll use everything to His benefit. He will. Let's see. I'm going to start at verse 5. He said, of such a one I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast except in my infirmities. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth, but I refrain lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelation, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffer me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times. That it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities than that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecution, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I am strong. Ooh, Shabba, Shabba. Every time I've ever done this, whether I was wrong, listen to me, whether I was wrong or not, and I've been wrong more times than I was right, but I would humble myself and say, yes, you're right. I made a mistake. I did that. Will you forgive me? Will you, you know, can I get over, can we get over this? And God would make a way out of no way. I had people just, you know, and they were, and the devil was using them too in my job, trying to get me fired and run off. But they used little things to attack me and to blow it up and make it a big issue. And because it was my supervisor and she was trying to get me out of there. But every time I would humble myself and I would be, because I was right and she was wrong, but I would be crying tears, and humble myself every time God would exalt me through it. He would give me grace. His mercy would cover over me. And when it all was all said and done, nothing worked for me. I mean, nothing worked against me. It all sorted out and fell on my favor for me. Every time I've ever done that, every time I've ever heard the voice of the Holy Spirit say, humble yourself. It's hard. It's the hardest thing you're ever going to do, because you're going to have to go against the grain of your nature. Your nature wants to bow up and raise up and say, no, I ain't doing that. Who are you talking to? You ain't talking to me. I'm a man of God. I'm this, I'm that. I'm a title. I got a title. You know, I'm a preacher. No, it ain't going to work. I'm telling you, I'm giving you keys to the kingdom tonight. If you humble yourself, whether it's with your kids, if your kids are grown and they think they know it all and they smoking dope and doing drugs and drinking, humble yourself. Humble yourself and get lower than they are and watch what God will do. His glory is going to be made known. His glory is going to be made known in your lives, and he's going to sort it out and bring it all back, full circle back to his will being done in their lives if you humble yourself. So we all have to humble ourselves. This thorn means splinter, stake, or something pointed. Flesh can refer to the body or to the sinful nature. Three basic suggested interpretations of the thorns are as follows. If flesh is a reference to the body, then it is a physical ailment like an earache or headache or eye trouble or epilepsy or fever. If flesh is a reference to the fallen nature, then the thorn could be a temptation. It expresses failure or persecution or opposition. Many suggested it was eye trouble or the basics of Galatians 4:15, the messenger of Satan. God permitted Satan to afflict Paul as he did Job. Buffet means to strike with the fist. Paul's thorn was a painful, humiliating experience given to pervert pride. It was given to keep pride away. So, and here's what I've learned. Now, I've been through some stuff, y'all. I mean, this last year ain't been no joke for me. It's physical stuff of ailments and stuff that I've been going through. You can't explain it. Doctors can't make sense out of it. But it's. I feel like it's been attacks for the enemy, because I'm a prophet trying to shut my mouth and keep me stuffed out. So I've been going through that for a long time and praying and praying and praying and trying to do, wasting money like crazy, trying to get it a natural, because I don't want to go to a doctor and say, hey, I'm having this, and then they want to say, oh, well, you got that. Let's check it. Let's rip you open and let's see what it is. No, I'm not going to do that. I am led by the Holy Spirit. Now, if he tells me, he shows me what to take, how to do it, all that. So it's getting better. I'm just saying that there's a reason, there's a time, reason, a time, and a season. In Ecclesiastes, it says there's a season for everything under the sun. So when God is progressing you and moving you through, just like he did Paul here, he gave him a thorn in the flesh. Why? So he would keep him humble, keep not where he wouldn't be all that in a bag of chips and get a big head. When people are, when you're anointed of God, and people see and feel the anointing, they want to glorify you. They want to glorify you. They want to, you know, open up doors for you. They want, they, you know, now they're calling you and depending on you more than God. So in our humanity, we will get the big head if God don't keep us humble. So we have to stay humble. We have to stay connected with God. And I've always done that, and I never will separate myself from him and be God on the throne, because I know in my heart, my mind, my soul that I am absolutely not God. I am a human being. I am still got issues, anger issues. You know, there's stuff in me that God, you know, I will not be made whole until I see him face to face. Now, my spirit is saved as it's ever going to be saved. Right now, talking to you, I'm saved, I'm filled of the Holy Ghost, but my soul will not be saved until I see him face to face and take on my glorified body. My soul, my mind, my soul, it's not saved. Spirit is. My spirit is saved. So I'm trying to build up, and it's like that bulldog. It's like said, which you got two bulldogs. Which one's going to get the biggest? The one you feed the most. What you're feeding, if you're feeding your flesh is going to grow. If you're feeding your spirit's going to soar. So you have to elevate through praying, through studying the Word of God. And just like Paul, the Lord, he went to him three times. He went to the Lord three times to fix this. Now, God don't need three chances to fix anything. If you're going through it, he said, give me the glory for it. You know, give me the glory for it. Just worship me through it, you know, and give me the glory for it. Don't get stuck on the problem, but get stuck on the situation that can fix it and change it in an instant. He said, my grace, my unmerited favor is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. And the Amplified puts it like this, but he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My loving kindness and my mercy are more than enough, always available, regardless of the situation. For my power is being perfected and is completed and shows itself most effectively in your weakness. Therefore, I will all the more gladly boast in my weakness so that the power of Christ may completely enfold me and may dwell in me. So it's all about humbling yourself, getting low where you can go high. You have to get low before you can ever be elevated. God is he is the God of promotions. All promotion coming from the Lord. Before you get promoted, you're going to have to humble yourself. You're going to have to suffer. He said, I suffer in the infirmities. Let me get back to that where it said, I suffer. He said, I take pleasure. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecution, in distress, for Christ's sake. For Christ's sake. He bore the weight of the world. He bore the sins of the world so that we may be saved, that we may enter in by the blood of the Lamb. He was the sacrificial Lamb that could only be taken from God the Father because he was spotless and pure without sin. He was born. He wasn't born of a human man. he was born of a woman, but that the Holy Ghost created him. So there, he didn't have a father. The father was God through the Holy Spirit, and that's why he was accepted for the sin sacrifice. It's the only way. It's the only way it could have been made. He made a way out of no way for us. He made a way. I got in by the blood of the Lamb. You enter in by the blood of the Lamb, but then you overcome by the word of your testimony. And your testimony is going to grow and grow and grow. It's never going to be one thing like mine was for years. I was drugs and alcohol for 27 years. You know, I didn't get saved when I was 10. I got saved when I was like 38 years old. So I had lived two lifetimes. I had two sets of children, two divorces, and all that stuff. I went through all that. So, you know, I was a grown man, and he had to get my attention, and he knew how to do it. He knew who I was. He knew there was goodness inside of me, that I had a good heart, but I was so jacked up. My mind was so far from God. I mean, he allowed me to smoke crack. He allowed me to do a lot of stuff that was crazy stuff, man. And when I look in the mirror now, I don't see that old man no more. I see the new creation in Christ. I see a new thing that God has created through the Word, through the washing of the Word, the washing of the Word. If you just get in the Word, start reading the Word, speaking it out loud, where to go into your ear gates, it will change you. It will rearrange you. It will make you perfect and whole. You will not be lacking nothing. When you get the Word in you, then God Almighty can pull it out of you and use it at all times. And He wants to. He wants you to encourage other people that are around you in your circle of influence. He wants to use you. That His grace is sufficient for you. His mercy endures forever and ever and ever and ever. And it's always about grace and mercy. I don't preach judgment. I don't condemn people in their sin. Listen, when I got saved, I knew I was going to hell. You didn't have to beat me over the head with it. I already knew I wasn't living right. I already knew I didn't know God. I didn't know anything about Him. But when His mercy washed over me, whoo, and those tears were not flowing down my face, but leaping out of my eyes and soaking me in the pastor's hand I was holding in my garage, when he got through with that prayer, it changed my life. I mean, everything in my life from my childhood to that point in life made complete sense why I had to go through what I went through, why I always felt like I should have been better than the situation, circumstances I was in. I should have made better grades, should have expelled, did more better at sports and this and that. It all made sense because I was chosen for the kingdom, you know. And I've talked about, preached about Joseph being the Rudolph. And, you know, he was surrounded by people, but he was never fit in. He never fit. And you might be a Rudolph. You might be surrounded by people and never feel like you fit in, that there's a place for you. But there's a place in the kingdom, and that's God has saved that which is good for the last. He saved the sweetest wine for last. It's like the marriage supper. You know, they didn't serve the good stuff. They saved it to last and let everybody get drunk on the cheap stuff and then brought the best for last. But then when they ran out of wine and Mary told Jesus, do whatever you need to do. He said, it's not my time. It's not my time to be doing miracles and signs and wonders. I ain't ready for that. And she said, do whatever he says. She told the servants to do whatever he said. He said, fill the water pots, 30 water pots. They filled it. They didn't say where it got it from. They didn't say if there was a well right across the street or there was a river or a creek or whatever. They didn't say where they got the water. So work to be done. They had to go and get it. They had to make an effort to go and get it. And whether they was tote buckets or barrels or whatever, though, they had to fill them. And once they filled them and obeyed the word of God, when they poured it out, He said, give the governor the first because it was his wedding and he was a man of authority. And he drank it and he said, oh, you saved the best for last, the best wine for last, because it was the sweetest. It was the best. God has saved the sweetest for last. And he's going to use you just like you are, just like you are, as crazy as you are. Your little twerks and your little attitude. No, God's going to use you just like you are. He's going to change your heart through the process, but he wants just one of you. You know, I used to, when I was at the potter's house and, you know, I was trying to dress like Bishop and all that stuff, and God corrected me, said, I don't need another bishop. I need one Dickie Crawford that will obey me, that is willing to go the way and do what I tell you to do. So that broke me on that. And I've never done that again, trying to be like somebody else that you're following, or, you know, they're good at what they do, and you try to use that. So you don't have to use it. You just be you. And that's the way I am. I mean, I've always told people the truth, and when I get a word from God, I'll speak it. And guess what? I don't worry about, oh, am I missing God? No, if he tells me to do it, I move into it. I occupy it. I say, hey, can I pray for you? And through that prayer, that word comes, and it changes them. It shifts them. It rearranges them, and they're soaked and they're wrecked from the top to the bottom, from the inside out, because it's not my doings, but it's the doing of the Holy Spirit. He wants to bless his people. He wants to love his people. But guess what? If you're not willing to bless them, if you're not willing to love them, if you're not willing to touch them, who will? You know, I've had people say, oh, no, don't touch them. Don't do this. Don't do that, you know, because they'll use that against you. And they'll say you're trying to be a pervert or some this and that. I said, no, if God tells me to hug them, I'm going to squeeze Jesus into them. And that's the way I am. I'm very passionate about Jesus. And I know how he works. He works through the touch of man. And he works through the heart of men. And he works through the minds of men, just like Paul. You know, think about the shifting, changing, how he rearranged him, how he was killing Christians, and think about the persecution he had to go through when he come into the apostleship, when he come into the kingdom. All of the preachers and everybody was looking at him because they scared to death of him. He'd been killing people for years, and he had authority and all, and he was an educated man. He wouldn't know, you know, dumb person. He was very educated. So they were looking at him like, really? He's going to preach? You know, so there was stuff that he had to overcome, you know, and he wouldn't walk in with Jesus, but he was after the, you know, he wouldn't, the one of the apostles that was walking with Jesus, it was way after that. So, but he did more than all the other apostles did, I'm telling you. And he suffered more than all of them. So, you know, he was beaten, left on the road for dead. And he said he counted it joy that he went through that. He, you know, think about it, being beaten and left for dead. And you're going to count that joy? That's going to be, you know, he's remembering why when he went through that, because he got more power from God. He got more authority from God. Once you hear, move, and obey, and you let things go, and you don't let things stop you and get stuck in a rut, and don't let people who are haters and want to hate on you and say stupid stuff to try to push your buttons and to get you to switch and lose your temper and, you know, start cussing again, get that old nature going, flowing. You know, that's what they do. They come to test you, to try you, to keep poking you, you know, keep poking you, poking like a bear. You keep poking it till that bear attacks. They want you to lose your cool. They want you to lose your peace and your joy. So you have to stay the course, and you have to give it to God, and you have to get up early in the morning and pray without ceasing. Pray every day. Pray. Here's a life changing thing for you right now. I don't even know who I'm talking to, but if you'll get up in the morning before you go to church, I mean, before you go to work, if you get up an hour before time and just spend time reading the Word and focusing and praying through your day. Say, Lord, I thank you for peace. I thank you for the blood covering me. I ask you to lead, guide, and direct me through this day. Whatever it comes, bring the answers, bring wisdom to me beyond the years of my life, and do it. Lead, guide, and direct me today. I plead the blood of Jesus over me that would protect me. I come against every assignment from hell to kill, steal, and destroy in my life. I speak peace over me right now. I speak peace over my wife. I speak peace over my children. I speak peace over my job. I speak peace over my boss, Lord. Let him get good rest tonight. All that. So you're preparing the way. That's what Jesus did. When he would separate from the disciples, he would go up and elevate, and he would spend time with the Father. And what he was doing was praying for the next day. So everything he walked in through was already covered in prayer. And that's why the power and the Holy Ghost was moving like he was, because he was in union with the Holy Ghost. He wasn't separated. He was one. He said, if I'm in you and you're in me, whatsoever you shall ask, it shall be done. Not maybe catch you on a good day to do it. He said, it shall be done. God wants to do it. He wants to use you like that. That's his will. It's to bless other people. You know, it's not, our life is not ours. Just like Paul said, you know, I revel in the infirmities for the glory of God, that Christ Jesus will be glorified through my life. So whatever I had to go through, I'm going to pay the price for it. I'm going to do it because he did it for me. He's already paid the price for me. Jesus died on the cross for us. That's what separates him from all other guys. And guess what? He got up on the third day. He's not no rotten bones in a tomb somewhere, no dusty corpse. He's alive and well. He sits at the right hand of the Father right now. Even as I speak to you, he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. He's praying for you right now that you would overcome, that you would be an overcomer, that you would overcome your sin nature, that you would overcome your heartbreak, that you would overcome your upraising, whatever, whether it's good or bad or indifferent. God wants to use your past, the problems that you've been through, whether you was molested, whether you was raped, whether you was beat down verbally, physically, whatever. God wants to use that stuff against the enemy to glorify himself through you. You are a conduit God wants to flow through. And you have to know that God wants to use you every day of your life. So when you get up, you're not getting up. When your feet hit the ground, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. It's not optional for me. He's brought me so far so fast. He's done so much so quick that if I drop dead right now talking on this show, he's already blown my mind. So you better know that God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you may ever ask to think. He wants to bless you. He wants to use you for his glory. You are the chosen remnant that God is going to use in this last outpouring. Speaking to you, and you're under the sound of my voice, I'm talking to you. And God's going to use you, and he's going to squeeze you until he gets every drop of his glory out of you. It's not over, and you ain't been through what you've been through for nothing, baby. Just tell yourself, pat yourself on your shoulder and say, thank you, Jesus, that your grace and your mercy is sufficient for me, that you're going to get me through it, that I'm an overcomer, and I'm going to overcome and leap over walls and run through troops, and I'm going to be overcoming everything that comes against me, that no weapon formed shall prosper. This is the heritage of the saints of God. This is your birthright, baby. He didn't say it wasn't going to be formed. He just said it will not work. He said it might be formed, but it ain't going to work. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. That's the heritage of the saints of God. That's just your birthright. This is the promise that God has made over your life, that nothing's going to work against you because you're chosen, you're favored, and you are the beloved of God. You are the beloved of God through his Son, Jesus Christ. You were entering in, you was engrafted in. Hallelujah.
And thank God for his grace. Thank God for his mercy. Where would I be without it? There is no other place to be. There's no going back. What am I going to go back to? I can't go back. I got to keep pressing toward the mark of the high calling of Christ Jesus, because he's brought me so far so fast. He's done so many good things in my life. I cannot but stop and give him the glory. And when I look back over my shoulders, it was good that I was afflicted. It was good that I went through some hard times. It was good that I was crushed and knocked the wind out of me, because now I've revived. Now that I trust him even the more, nothing can kill me. Nothing can snatch him out of me. Nothing can snatch me out of the hands of God, because I'm in the very palm of his hand. He will keep me. He will protect me. He will lead me. He will direct me. He will do what he's called me to do through me as I obey him, as I hear the audible voice of God. You can hear the voice of God. You're hearing the voice of God right now. Ha! Because it's strengthening you. You're getting strength through this show. You're getting strength through the word of God. He said, my grace is sufficient. So next time the devil says, oh, no, you're going to be homeless and on the street, my grace is sufficient, devil. God's grace is sufficient. It's more than sufficient. Hallelujah. Oh, you're going to die of cancer. God's grace is sufficient for me. His unmerited favor over my life is going to get me through this chemo. His unmerited favor is going to get me off the streets being homeless. His unmerited favor is going to make a way out of no way for me. You better tell the devil to shut up and get back, because he has no authority, no power over you. Hallelujah. Over your body, over your mind, over your soul. You belong to Christ Jesus. There is a label over your forehead that says property of Jesus Christ. So you need to recognize who you are and don't let the devil steal your identity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Y'all done got me up preaching now. I'm preaching. I done stood up. Let me sit back down. Woo. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be God. Glory. Woo. Hallelujah. He said, I have become a fool in boasting. You have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended by you, for in nothing was I behind the most eminent apostle. Though I am nothing, truly the signs of an apostle were accomplished among you, with all perseverance and signs and wonders and mighty deeds, for what it is in which you were inferior to other churches, except that I myself was not burdensome to you. Forgive me this wrong. Forgive me. See, he's humbling himself. See, when you humble yourself, you have to repent. You have to say, I'm wrong and you're right. Whether you are or not, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. That's what I'm saying. So that's humbling yourself when you're wrong, when you're right. Because that's a hard thing to do. It goes against everything in you. Say, wait a minute. You attacking me. You're saying that to me. And I'm supposed to repent. No. Because you want to blow it up. You want to say, no, I'm right. You're wrong. But when God says, humble yourself, he's trying to get you out of a situation to get yourself out of. That's a word. That's the word right there. That's the truth right there. He's trying to give you an easy way out. So when this happens to you tomorrow or the next day or whenever it happens, when somebody attacks you and trying to destroy you, and you go low, and you hear the audible voice of God say, humble yourself. Humble yourself. He's not trying to harm you. He's trying to defend you and get you out of this situation. And he will always do it if you will obey the word of the Lord right now. The Holy Spirit You have to obey the Holy Spirit. When he tells you to humble yourself, he's trying to help you. He's trying to help you. He's trying to get you out, give you a way out, a way out. He'll make ways out of no way. He will split the Red Sea of despair in your life. No, you might think the enemy might have you painted up like you're going to be destroyed, you're going to be taken out or whatever. If you just humble yourself, baby, if you just go low and say, you know what, I'm wrong. Will you forgive me? It fall on your sword. He will make a way out of no way for you every time. I'm testifying about what I know. I'm not testifying to you about what has been taught for me in books, been taught for me by man. I'm telling you what the Holy Spirit has done over and over and over in my life. When things come against me and trying to destroy me, if I just humble myself and say, you're right and I'm wrong, you know, and it's hard because it's been through tears. I've done it through tears because I wasn't crying because I was sad, but I was crying because it was hurting me to do that. And it's always worked out for my good. Always. Always. God's talking to somebody tonight. You might have a test coming tomorrow. You might have a test coming this week. You might have already been through it. And he's just bringing confirmation of what you've been walking through. Because the Bible says he will not put more on you than you can bear. And he'll always leave a way of escape. And here's the thing. Once you bear it, he'll bring more. Once you bear the burden of it, he'll bring even more. More, whatever that means, you know, more joy, more peace, more money. You know, once you bear things, you know, because people think they want money, but if money fell on you today and you're not prepared how to manage it, how to keep it, how to bless, how to be a good steward for God's stuff in the kingdom, it would destroy you. Because, you know, money, here's the thing about money. Money only brings out what's already in you. You don't hear me. You don't hear me. If you like to drink, you're just going to die alcoholic. If you like things, you're going to waste all that money and be broke in a year. If it's sexual things, you're going to just have more sex. You're going to do whatever perversion's in you. If it hadn't been healed and sealed and brought out, and you've been delivered by stuff, money only amplifies what's already in your heart. That's what money does. So it's the love of money that's the root of all evil. It's the love of money. And if you love God more than money, you're good. He don't mind us having good things and nice things, and as long as we're not worshiping them, we stop worshiping the giver and start worshiping the things. He has a problem with that. He don't mind you having money. He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to be blessed to use it as a tool from the unbelievers. So when they look at you and say, oh, man, you driving that? Yeah. Are you living in this house? Yes. How? Jesus. I live a holy life. I give all the glory. I give to God. I support him, and he supports me. And that's the way it should be. You should never be ashamed of what you have, what you don't have, because it's going to change in an instant. Once he has grown you up and brought things to your clarity through the wisdom of the ages, through the Holy Spirit, he will give you teaching.